Hey everybody, it's Sam Bennett. Thank you so much for joining me for the True Freedom Symposium, the when, what, why, and how to quit your day job, and what's really on the other side. Today's interview is with my dear friend, Ben Saltzman. Ben is an internationally known seminar facilitator. He trains Fortune 500 companies, Fortune 100 companies. He's a coach to entrepreneurs and multimillionaires and celebrities. He's the creator of the Shadowlight Integration Coaching Course, and the co-leader of the Abundance Ministry at Inner Light Ministries. He's a radio personality, he's an author, he has a master's degree in organizational development from John F. Kennedy University, and he also teaches seminars and online classes about the Enneagram. He's worked with Hewlett-Packard and The Gap and the Air Force and Sun Microsystems and all kinds of people, and I think you're really gonna find him a fascinating person. I know I do. Enjoy.
Yay! Hi, Ben!
Hello, my darling. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so glad we're here together in this time. This is so great.
Let's play.
So we're talking to people who have jobs. They've got some steady income, but they're feeling some absence in their life. They're feeling like, I think maybe there may be something more for me. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of this conversation is just to help give people enough information so that they can really make a clear decision of like, this entrepreneurship thing is interesting to me. I think I want to look into that more, or not for me. I'm going to find some other way to zhuzh up my life and
got it.
Be creatively fulfilled. Yeah. So kind of where I've been starting with everybody is with your own journey. So how did you get from where you were to where you are?
My leaving the nest of a regular job and launching into my own thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. So it's right before the dot-com bomb, the bust, the blow-up, the tank of the dot-com. And I've got a couple of coaching clients and feeling pretty like I was all that, and had rented a room to do my first real seminar on my own. And that was when I like cut out on the job, and immediately the dot-com sank, lost all coaching clients, you know, five people show up to events. It was like horrendous. And really kind of like, is this for me? Do I need to go get a real job or can I really make this work? Did some wrestling with that, ran into the Enneagram and discovered my personality type. So later we'll hopefully talk about some of the types.
For sure.
And kind of did some of the inner work so that I could actually thrive as a solopreneur, and stuck with it through, you know, like making this happen, and slowly increased my rates and slowly increased the number of people who were coming in to my events. Really learned how to market, which was, I had never, you know, my parents were academics. So they looked down on people who would ever do selling. They looked down on people who would do marketing. There was just this, like, we don't do that inside the family system. So I was horrible at it. I was really bad. But I knew that I...
But that's a bad combination, ignorance and disdain. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but I know I don't like it. Whatever that marketing thing is.
Oh, I was so bad. But I knew I wanted to coach. Like, I had been coaching people in corporate. I've been coaching entrepreneurs. So I knew that I could get change and transformation inside of souls. It was just marketing myself that was terrorizing.
Right.
And so, you know, it was quite a road to get good at that, to the place where I could have a thriving practice and full seminars and really feel like, all right, this is a living that I could have a family on and have a child on and feel comfortable with. So it took a while.
Yeah. So I'm just imagining somebody watching this and going like, well, how much, and you don't have to say specifically, but sort of ballpark, how much were you charging and how much do you charge now?
That was a dramatic difference.
Yeah.
So when I started, I was charging $50 a session for, you know, and so totally unsustainable for having a life.
Right.
Quickly bumped it up to $100 a session. Got some clients, figured out, okay, I get tangible results that people go, yay, life is much better now. Went to $250 a session, and then pretty soon figured out to make this work, we have to do packages.
Yeah.
to, I can't just do one off, you know, people come in for three sessions or something like that. So then went to 6 month, you know, you're coming in, like we're doing serious work together. Your life is really going to look different. Your business is really going to look different. And now I'm at $15,500 for a 6 month program. Mm-hmm. So I'm typically at 10 to 12 clients at a time. So, you know, financially it works pretty well. And I'm pretty, as a coach, I'm one of the highest paid coaches on an hourly basis out there. But it was just, you know, incremental changes kept on getting higher and higher.
Right. So there's two things you've said that I want to kind of underline. And first of all, as a client of Ben's, I can tell you that yes, 6 months with you, your life changes. And it may seem a little crazy, especially to somebody who's never invested in coaching, like really $15,000 for 6 months. Yeah. Like, what are you going to clean my house, paint my house? Like, you know, like what kind of magic is this? But when you, I mean, again, I've had this experience where like one session with Ben and all of a sudden my attitude, the way I'm bringing my energy to my clients, to my marketing, to my business shifts and changes. So there's a little internal shift, but it leads to this, all of a sudden I'm making another 30 grand at my event. I'm getting another 15 people into my program at $500 a piece. I'm, exactly. You know, so it's, and so two things about this, especially for those of you who are interested in coaching or personal services, it really is about the results. It's not just, you know, pay me all this money because it's fun. It's pay me all this money because it's an investment that you will make back.
Right.
And even if you're not making it back in money, like, oh, in charging, but, you know, how much is it worth to you to have a great conversation with your teenager? How much is it worth to you to have a peaceful marriage? How much is it worth to you to have a vibrant, luscious sex life or a really great relationship with food or whatever it is that you help people with or that... Right.
Right. And I want to, on that one, before you go to the next piece, I really found that if I can coach to the inner game, to what's happening inside and shift how people are showing up in the world, their being, so they're showing up with more power, more presence, more authority, more self-confidence, that plus leadership or that plus marketing skills or that plus, you know, that's a strong combination for people that they're getting strategies that they can use in their business or use in their relationships or use in their life. And they're doing deep level inner transformational work. That particular combination is very powerful and people will pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think when people think about going into business for themselves, they're really thinking about their skill set or their knowledge capital or like, you know, here are the skills and talents that I have. And those things are important. Of course, you want to be great at what you do and do a great job.
Yeah.
But if you've got a story in your head that says it's not really okay for me to be super powerful or it's not really okay for me to be the one in charge or, you know, everyone has to like me all the time or something, right, then that's going to keep you from doing as well as you could. The other thing I think you said when I found this out, I was like, the heavens parted is this thing about packages.
Oh yeah.
Because so many people think, well, I would love to offer XYZ, but I can't make a living. You know, yeah, I charge $50 an hour or $200 an hour or whatever, but it's not like you're working. You're not coaching people 8 hours a day. You know, you might have a couple of clients a week and there's only so many hours in a day. And there's only so much energy a person has, particularly working one-on-one. It's exhausting. It's a lot of energy.
So packages or leverage through one to many.
Yeah.
You know, anybody that I'm transitioning into like the real world, out of corporate and into the real world, we're looking at, what kind of package can you put together so you're not having to sell and sell and sell and sell? And can you do small group or can you do large group so that your time is, you know, you get 10 people in or 100 people in, all of a sudden you have real leverage in your time. So people, like, please think of packages and leveraging as you come out.
It's also, you just get better results. I mean, I know, you know, I've got a massage therapist and body worker that I go to sometimes, but I usually only go when I'm in serious distress, you know, when I'm like, okay, I'm really in pain. I'm really, you know, exhausted.
And then there's only so, you know, and it's a great massage, but there's only so much she can do in one session, right? Mm-hmm. And I keep wishing she would be like, here, let's do a 6-month session where you come, mm-hmm. you know, every week or every 10 days or every whatever. And then we can really make some progress. You can really have an impact in someone's life.
Right.
I like that. And that's whether you're teaching art or whatever it is you're offering people, you're going to, what's going to be best for them? It's not just, we want win, 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 win. It's better for you. It's better for me. It's better for the bank. It's better for the guy who's parking the cars. It's better for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So this Enneagram thing you mentioned.
Yes.
I don't think most people know about what this is. I certainly hadn't heard of it.
Right.
Until just a couple of years ago. So tell people what that is.
Yeah. Chances are about 70% of you don't know what it is. That's pretty typically what we run into. All right. So imagine that there are 9 different personality types that each see the world through their own unique lens. And that lens shapes reality for you. The lens of your personality type pulls your attention towards very specific things in a systematic way over and over and over. So those things get magnified and bigger, and they kind of dominate your experience. And this lens pulls your attention away from other things that become your blind spots, the things that you can't see, the things that are the Achilles heel for you if you're running a business or if you're in leadership, the things that often cause great havoc in your life because you can't see them. So we'll give you a couple of examples. If you're a type 6 on the Enneagram, each of these 9 types get a number and a name. So for the type 6, we call it the loyal skeptic. What their attention is drawn towards is where the dangers are. What might get me? Who's got the hidden agenda? Is this authority figure to be trusted or not? Am I safe here? Am I not safe here? What's going on? How am I giving up my own power? Oh, can I trust myself? There's a lot of thought for this type. It's a head type. So there's a lot of like, can I be trusted? Can I not be trusted? Can they be trusted? What are they thinking? Oh my God, what's going to happen? Is this safe? That's not safe. They don't look very safe. What's happening here? So there's a lot going on and the attention is towards all the dangers. So when those dangers happen, they get magnified.
Yeah.
And people occur as not safe.
I'd imagine those people make great lawyers, great housing inspectors.
Oh, yeah.
Great safety, you know, that Gavin DeBecker, like security,
yeah,
risk assessment.
know. Yeah.
Like there's a high, I mean, you know, it's not just that people walk around just like paranoid and looking into every corner, although I'm sure sometimes it looks like that. But that that can be a super useful skill set to have somebody who's
their attention towards detail is huge. Their attention towards what's going on around me. Like they are very aware of social dynamics and what's happening. I mean, there's huge gifts for each of these types as well as the part that kind of holds them back. If a type 6 was thinking about moving into their own gig, they would probably have made up fears about what's going to happen and how horrible it's going to be, because that's where my focus of attention is.
Right.
I'm not going to be able to survive. I'm not going to get clients. I'm not going to, you know, fill in the blank. There'll be some catastrophe that usually ends in no money or death or my relationships crumble. Like that's where it ends for the sixes. So the problem is that they can't see this blind spot, which is how they can be trusted, how the world can be trusted, what's the chance of something good happening? I mean, we find when we launch our own businesses, when we do it with boldness and conviction and we're in alignment with what we really want to bring, like the world rushes in to support us in dramatic and crazy ways.
I can't tell you how many miracle stories I've experienced and my clients and students have too. They make one clear decision, they make a move, and it's like this tidal wave of support.
Yeah.
Just amazing, amazing things happen.
You wouldn't even have expected.
But you can't quantify it. You can't look for it. It's not going to come up in a magnifying glass.
It's like one of those spiritual principles. Like when we get aligned and we set intent and we move with boldness, the world kind of rushes in to support the vision and the movement. So that's hard for a 6 to even think about, you know, much less lean into because they have trouble in that arena.
On the other hand, and sometimes I get the numbers messed up, so tell me if this is right, like the sevens are going to be like, yeah, let's go. No, it'll be great. Let's try this new thing. It'll be super fun.
Life is a party. It's all going to go good. Let's go. Sometimes we say the sevens are like a six in denial. They're mentally and they're cognating and they're a little disconnected from the heart and the body, but they're positive. It's going to go well. So the sevens are often, they're jumping in and I mean, God help them. They're jumping into things before they even get their ducks lined up. You know, they're trying to do whatever they're trying to do before they develop some of the skills or before they develop any marketing or whatever. They're just like, all right, let's do it. You know, the weird part is that they can all swim.
Yeah.
You know, even given the craziness of our type and the way that we kind of contort reality, we can still all make this thing work. But it does take some intention and some time and some learning. You know, most of the time you want to build up something before you launch. There's a, you know, not always. Often there's like, oh, I got to get something going. So let's talk about type fours as a good contrast.
Ooh. He brings this up because I am a four.
Yes. So fours, focus of attention towards where I'm different, towards where I'm unique, towards how people are not seeing me or accepting me, how I'm on the outside looking in, and everybody seems to have the playbook on how to do life, but I was left out in the cold, and I'm both kind of like under you and you're better, and I'm way deeper than all of you, and you just don't get the depth of life and how, you know, beautiful it all is in a very unique way. And so for the fours, sometimes being in corporate can be really hard. Because often in corporate, you're kind of boxed in and your creativity isn't given a lot of space and room. So often the fours are like, get me out of here. You know, I want to get out into the world. But if they're not doing work around the self-worth piece,
right,
it can really be a limit on how much success they can have and how much income they can generate. Those kinds of things, they kind of bump up against the ceiling until they can kind of move through that and take bold action anyway and kind of come into the world. Sometimes we have to like say, you know, just come as if you're worthy and you'll find it on the way.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So this is a lot of creative people, a lot of people who end up in creative fields are fours. So we were the weird kids in our family. We were the weird kids at school. We were the weird kids growing up. Yeah. And it does lead to a certain feeling of isolation and like, I'm not sure I'm really from this planet. Like, I don't know what you people are doing. This doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
At a very deep level, I don't really understand what's happening here in this human existence thing. But also, you know, this is where art comes from, is from having a unique perspective on the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that sense of being a little outside, it is literally a perspective, right? In drawing, we talk about perspective. And so that's partly where art comes from, is the ability to perceive and interpret reality in a slight, in a different way than anybody else has ever done it.
Yeah. And the uniqueness, the four's unique expression and view, when that gets channeled into something and they can create or they can bring a service or goods to the world with that unique flair that is just theirs, they can charge top dollar for that. It's becomes really a unique.
Because no one else can do it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I found super valuable about this work with Ben and with the Enneagram is understanding, yes, oh, wait, that's my lens. Like, I'm always going to feel like the weird kid on some level. And that stopped me for a long time. I remember saying, like, there's not, like, I'm unemployable. Nobody's, like, I don't belong anywhere. I don't fit in anywhere. Mm. And I would even say, I wish I could just get paid to be me. Why can't somebody just pay me to be me? I'm so good at being me. I'm the only me I know. That seems worthy. What I didn't realize is that's really what was true.
Right.
like I could get paid to be me. I could get paid to create my own world and talk about the things that were important to me with people that I love, you know, in a place that I love, making money that I love all day long.
Yeah. You just got to kind of amp you up a little bit. Right. And it'll like, oh yeah.
And that thing that looks like a legitimate concern of like, oh, I'm not going to fit in. And this still happens to me. I go to conferences or events and I walk in the room and my first thought is like, oh, these are not my people.
Right.
This is not going to work for me.
None of them are my people.
And then I think, wait a minute, Sam, you always feel that way.
Right.
That just means you're walking in the world. Just relax.
Yeah.
Because maybe they are and maybe they aren't. Give them a chance.
Yeah. And then we make contact, we make connection, and we find common ground. And, oh, these people aren't so bad.
Well, and Ben spoke at one of my events a couple of years ago. And so you get a room full of fours together. Right. And it's like watching a basket full of puppies. You know, they're like, oh my God, I'm like that too. Oh my gosh, you do that too. Oh my God. Like, they were just like so happy to meet each other. And like, I know, I'm happy. Like, you're psychic too. I'm psychic. I know.
But it's kind of cute, actually. There's just like so much energy and like vibrancy at these events where they're like, wow, all the fun people are here and they're all kind of weird like me. This is great.
Exactly. Exactly. And then we go back to the sixes who are like, this seems very strange. This is a lot of exuberance. I don't know.
That's right.
So this is the other thing that I think is valuable, whether you keep your regular job or go into your own job, understanding not only your own lens, but that other people have, even if you don't learn what their lenses are, understanding like, oh, this person is always going to be excited about a new idea. And they're always going to want to run willy-nilly off the roof, you know, and this person is always going to be detail-oriented and conservative and concerned. And it doesn't make, you know, and in some instances, this quality is great. And then other times it's a little self-destructive. And in other qualities, this quality is great. And sometimes it's a little self-destructive. So to be able to see those dynamics in action and speak to people from their point of view to say like, I get it that you're going to be concerned about this, that, or the other thing.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's not just, I mean, we kind of, when we start to really get the other types, it goes beyond just understanding into, oh, I get compassion for the pain that you're suffering, right? For what you're wrestling with, for the heartache that you create over and over and over in your life. Like there's a way in which we get to open our hearts to these other types and really get them. So your relationships with them improve, because most of us walk around thinking everybody sees the world the way I do.
Right.
Everybody has my worldview, and therefore we run into somebody who doesn't and like, what's wrong with you? You know, are you sick or are you like, have you lost it or whatever? So there's something inside of us that when we really start to understand, they have a different experience of the world. Their value sets are different. What they're attending to in the world is different. Then people start making more sense. You can form a relationship with that estranged brother or with the, you know, in my family, we had a type 8 aunt who was so big and so aggressive that people were like, what the hell's wrong with her?
Oh, right. 8s are like the Leos of the... Yeah. Right.
They have trouble being vulnerable. They have trouble kind of letting their guard down, but they have a lot of strength and power and influence and impact. And my family was just like, until I was like, you guys, this is what's going on the inside. And here, and I kind of opened my heart towards her and could accept her for where she was. Then she could relax some of that intensity and she could be seen more. And so it just kind of helped in forming relationship. And this, when you do launch into the world, it's so nice to know these different types, because you're going to be marketing and selling to them, or they're going to be your clients, and you're going to be able to speak into their world and form trust with them, because they're going to feel like, oh yeah, you get me. We energetically can match their level of intensity when we're in conversation with them. Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big thing in sales, is to be able to address people's, not just their stated concerns, but their unstated concerns.
Right.
And, you know, so for me, talking to creatives, to be able to say, look, you're going to be able to do this your own way. This is not a cookie cutter approach. This is you. And this is about encouraging your own self-expression. And they start to go like, oh, okay, well, as long as, you know, As long as you're going to try and turn me into everybody else, then we can talk, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so you're talking into those unstated concerns and what's going on underneath the surface for them. And that builds trust like nobody's business, right? Then they're in with you and they want to play with you and they want to dance with you. Yeah.
Right. Excellent. So good. So what, speaking of the entrepreneurial experience, and particularly as a sole service provider, because you don't have a team or, I mean, you have people you work with, but your business is pretty much you doing the work.
Yeah, we have a couple of subcontractors who are come in for this, that, and the other. But
and you train other coaches to be.
Right, yeah. We train coaches. And when we do our seminars, we bring in our team, but they're pretty virtual and they have their own gigs. And then they come in and we're training a bunch of coaches how to use the Enneagram or how to do deeper level work. And everybody's in and we're like, love, love, love. And then everybody kind of goes back out to the world.
Yeah. So, which is good to know too, that like, as you build a business, your business can get quite big without you having to employ a ton of people full time. You can get in independent contractors or people who work occasionally or are affiliated or partners with you. But how we've been talking some in this summit about the sort of the, entrepreneurship as a spiritual journey, as a personal development journey, like what we needed to learn about ourselves in order to succeed.
Right.
What's the shape of that look like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. So we got into some of it when I was telling my story, right? I really kind of caught on. So I'm an Enneagram type 7. So that was a big piece of it. And kind of realizing, oh, people experienced me at the beginning as a little ungrounded or flighty, not really present in a powerful way. And I had to do my inner work around that. Because here I am doing coaching and really focused more and more on deeper level work. And I couldn't hold my ground or their ground. They're like, I'm going to go there with you. You know, kind of a surface piece that's just connected to my type. So doing the inner work to find a deeper ground inside of me, allowing a more broad base of holding for them, allowed them to go deeper. So that was huge. At our events, there's just more opening, more tears of transformation, more reveal. It just became juicier and juicier each year. And after 4 or 5 years, people would come to me and say, Ben, you've got so much more ground. You feel so much more solid. Like I could go anywhere with you and you could hold me. I could feel into my greatest excitements and joys. And I can feel into my horribleness and my pains, and you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, yep, I got you.
That's got to feel great. That's got to have wonderful repercussions as a husband and as a dad and as a neighbor. And like,
yeah, it's really nice.
To be the guy that people can count on. That's lovely. Yeah,
before, I didn't even know. That's the horrible part about our type usually is that we don't know. What we don't know. We don't know how we're being experienced by other people. Mm-hmm. So to have a system that kind of gives you a mirroring of you, that's really non-personal. Like you're crazy is not personal anymore. I'm just that type.
Right.
And then, you know, the kind of capacity to do the work, that was huge.
Yeah.
The other piece, my journey around money was big.
Oh, say more about that.
I wasn't charging a lot. I had almost like, you know, the disdain for selling and marketing from my family, it went into money too. Mm-hmm. It went into, it's not okay for me to ask for money. It's not okay for me to actually want to have money. Just wanting was like, can I really say I want to make $100,000? Can I really say I want to make $200,000? Can I set goals of $400,000? Like not okay. You're not allowed to be that big or want that much, or you know, there was a lot of issues around that and asking for what I charge. You know, my underwear would tighten and I'd be like, oh God, I'm really saying I charge this much. You know, it was that kind of thing for quite a while until I made peace with it and just kind of really unwound some of those stories and got like, oh, I have to make money to have this thing be sustainable so that I can support these people. Yeah. Like I'm actually doing them a disservice if I'm in poverty consciousness and scrambling to make money. When I get to, I'm solid, I know I'm good, my needs are taken care of, my family's taken care of, I'm financially, like, you know, we're putting money away each month, we're building up a nest egg. When I'm in that place, how I show up is dramatically different. And I've got to have that sense of solid self in order to support these other people.
I was just talking to a friend of mine who just had to close down her business, actually, which is super sad. And as we were talking about that, she confessed to me, she's like, yeah, well, I haven't paid myself for the last like 9 months.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's not a business.
Right.
Like, that's some weird charitable endeavor. Like,
yeah. You have a hobby that's kind of functional. It's not a business.
Yeah. And one of the great joys to me about being a successful entrepreneur that I didn't anticipate is getting to pay other people. Like, I remember when I had gigs, you know, when I was doing work for other people, again, sort of most usually as an independent contractor kind of a thing, but how great it was when I invoiced them and they paid me right away and they were happy to pay me and, you know, it was prompt, it felt like a good exchange and I was so grateful for the work. I was like, oh, this is a great gig and I like working for this person and look, there's a check. And I love being that person.
Right.
I love being the person who says like, here you go. You know, one of my team members came to me and she's like, I think I need to start making one. And she had another gig that went away. She's like, I think I need to start making more money. And I'm like, great. Let's figure out how you can do that in my business. Like, mm-hmm. How can you generate the money that I will pay you?
Right. Yeah.
What can you do?
Help other people step into things that they love to do that we don't love to do and get well paid for this.
Yeah.
Right. Like an accountant. So one of your first hires is usually somebody to do the money. Yeah. And I hate that. Like, it's the worst for me to do all the nitty gritty figuring all this stuff and where did it come from? And like, no way. But to pay somebody else to do it because they like it. I was like, oh my God, you like doing that? Okay. Here.
Well, and that's a really important thing to remember. That was big news to me that like, whatever it is you hate doing, somebody else loves it and will be so grateful for the gig. And they're going to be so much better at it than you are.
Yeah.
And there's often this sort of surface thing of like, oh, you know, I'm a control freak. I'm a perfectionist. I don't want to delegate. I don't. And if you just like, and I get that. I get that, you know, oh, it's going to take me longer to teach them how to do it than it is for me to do it myself. I get that. And that may even be true the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. But by the sixth time, they either aren't getting it and need to go, or they've got it. You never have to do it again.
Right. And hopefully, you know, by the third or fourth time, it takes them less time or you're starting to get that payoff and you all of a sudden you're freed up. I mean, I can't tell you, you know, we have subcontractors for a lot of the marketing stuff and a lot of our websites. It was so like, oh my God, now I'm coaching more. Yeah. I'm spending less time doing financial or marketing or the admin and more of my time doing what I love to do, the thing that is my gift to the world.
Right.
That is huge.
And also this, I just lost my thought. It was so good. That when you are charging enough and making enough, you show up more fully for your clients, partly because you're not half worried about, oh my God, I haven't done the accounting and oh wait, the website's not working properly. And you know, all that other stuff. You don't have to worry about all that stuff, but also this is going to sound a little weird. You're not afraid to fire them. Like, and when I'm selling people now, like I don't have to sell them. I'm like, this is what I'm offering. And if you are jumping off the couch and ready to go, then let's do it.
Right.
And if you're not, then let's not do it.
Yeah. It's really nice when you get to that place of you've got enough clients, you've got enough income flow where you're like, no, you're going to be a problem client. You're not working with me. You're just like, these are the people that I enjoy. These are the people that I love working with. That's the work I'm going to do.
Yeah. As I was thinking about this symposium last night before I fell asleep and I was trying to imagine like, okay, I've got a corporate gig. I'm thinking about maybe being an entrepreneur and like, what would my worries be?
And I thought, I would probably be really worried about things like, do I need to have contracts with people? And what about, you know, what if somebody doesn't pay me? And how much do I charge? And do I have to give refunds? And what's that? And what's that? And what's that? And what I want to say is, yes, you have to think about all those things, but you kind of don't have to think about them until you get there. Like, you don't have to plan all, you don't have to know all that in advance.
Yeah, there is a lot of, I kind of feel like we've launched a plane, we're in flight, and we're still building sections of the plane, and okay, we got to do, you know, it's like, go and make it up on the way and get good support. That's a big, can I talk about the power of mentors? Because this is a big deal. So I was going back over my income and over the growth of my company. And I realized that every single time I got a mentor, I signed up for somebody's program or I got one-on-one coaching, my income shot up pretty dramatically. That was where the increases were. And my, just like I up-leveled my business. I hired the right people, or I stopped doing the things that didn't serve me. I kind of went down the road that was less traveled, but more important for me. Mm-hmm. You know, there was something about having an external person who traveled the road before me, maybe not my exact path, but knew a lot, that could shorten the learning curve by 10 and really allowed me to bounce my ideas off of them. And they were there in service to me. There's something, you know, the people who work for us, they've got a stake in the game. They can't give you an unbiased opinion. Your husband or your wife or your kid or your friends, they've got existing relationships with you, and it's not a clean slate. They've got their weird filter, and so they can't see you clearly. You get a coach or a mentor, and all of a sudden you got somebody at your back, and they're there for you, and they're wanting you to succeed, and they've got like sacred knowledge, and they can see you in what you can become, which like pulls you forward into, wow, I could be this.
Yeah.
You know, it gives you strength. It gives you new strategies. It allows you to kind of be in the world in a new way. And so get support, get a mentor, joining a group that does whatever it is that you're wanting to step into. Like, I can't tell you the difference with support versus not support in terms of the growth. And
I really should have had like the International Coaching Federation or somebody sponsor this thing, because it has come up in every single interview.
Really?
Every single person has said,
yeah,
whatever you do, get a coach, get a mentor, get a group, you need somebody. And like taking advantage of all the free stuff on the internet, stuff like this, like it's great and it will definitely help.
Yeah.
But it is not going to give you the solid foundation that you really need. And that it's a lot of the same benefits as therapy, and that like you have an enlightened witness,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have somebody to hold space for you, to observe you, to be on your side, to be 100% on your side.
Yep.
It also forces you to reflect,
right?
You know, it's so easy, especially when you're a solopreneur and it's just you doing things all day long, to just stay on that hamster wheel of the website and the marketing and blah, 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 blah. And to be forced to take an hour a week or an hour every 2 weeks or whatever it is to go, okay, wait, what am I doing?
Yeah, right.
What were my goals again?
How do I prioritize tasks? And remember what I was saying earlier, your personality type, you have this that you can see, you have all this that you can't see, your blind spots, your coach, your mentors, your group, that's where they can show you.
Yeah.
The blind spots, the things that you can't see that you're doing, that's shooting yourself in the foot, that you're not aware of, you'll never get that on your own.
Here's something I just learned from CrossFit, because I do CrossFit, because I'm an unbelievable badass.
Boom.
I have to say that every time. I'm terrible at it, but I do it. And it's hard and I like it. But one of the things I learned from my trainer there is most people will underestimate their ability to lift by 50%. If you say, you know, do you think, you know, can you, you know, lift up this heavy thing, you know, lift this barbell on a scale of 1 to 10, how heavy is that? And they'll go like, oh, that's like a 4 or 5. And they put more weight on and lift it up.
Oh, actually, now that's more like a 4 or 5. Put more weight on. Oh, this is getting like a 6 or a, like, like, we will consistently underestimate our own ability to buy. You can probably, whatever it is you're doing, you can probably do at least twice as much.
Yep.
I also heard this in a different setting from a sales trainer guy I know who said, whenever he's selling to people, and they say, okay, this is great. I think I might want to do this, but I need some time to think about it. I got to talk to the spouse. I got to consult the checkbook, you know? And he's not a hard, there's a school of thought on sales that says, like, no, you got to get them right there. Like, no, you got to commit right now. He's like, no, they need time to think about it. That's fine. But they need about half as much time as they think they do.
Right.
So if they're saying, like, yeah, let me get back to you on Thursday, and it's Monday, he's like, yeah, Thursday's really bad for me. How's Tuesday?
Yeah.
And he just gives them half as much time. You know, if they want 2 days, give them one.
Right. And here's another one. Often they ask women and men about what they can do, and the women are underestimating and less confident, and the men are overestimating and more confident across the board.
Yeah.
You know, so this is launching into career stuff, what they can actually, the value that they can bring to people. They boiled down even to just taking a test and how would they do on a test.
I've also read that women will, when they're thinking about starting a business or applying for a position, you know, a new position, they'll look at the requirements or what they think the requirements are and sort of want to wait until they can check all the boxes. Mm. Whereas men will go like, well, I got about a third of these skills. I'm sure I can do it. It'll be fine.
Right. I'll wing it. I'll make it work. Yeah.
Can you do this? Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. So women, you can do this.
You can do this. You can totally do this.
You can come out on your own. You can do more than you think you can do.
That's right. You can, there will be stuff you don't know how to do and you will figure it out.
Yeah. How are we sending people? Because I want people to be able to discover their Enneagram type and know what their strengths are and these challenge areas and all of it. Like, are you going to put a link somewhere?
I'm going to put a link and I'm going to talk about it. They've probably already heard me talk about it in the intro and probably in the outro too. So then I'll read your bio. I'll make you sound super cool. It's going to be great.
Kinds of stuff for them. Great. Yeah. So please go take that test.
Yeah, do. It's really interesting.
5 minutes. It's free. And you really start to get on the inside. Oh, these are the strengths that I can leverage, so that you can really bring something out and feel powerful. And these are my challenge areas, the places where I need to do some work so that I can have a successful practice or business, where, you know, whatever it is that you're bringing out into the world, it's almost always make or break by relationships.
Yes.
Can you form solid relationships, trusting relationships well with people? And your personality type is intricate, is so critical to figure out what you're doing and how people are experiencing you and what's going on inside of their heads, minds, bodies, souls, so that you can form these solid relationships. So please, like, come explore and see if it's something that you want to get into.
Yeah, it's super, super valuable. I will also say, and maybe this is just a quality of mine as a 4, but I remember when I first started learning about Enneagram, and kind of one of the things with Enneagram is you're sort of, I mean, there's the tests and stuff, but you're kind of supposed to self-diagnose, like...
Yeah, you don't want somebody to come up to you and say, you're a this. You really
right.
The test kind of launches you into this self-observation and self-exploration.
Right. So as a 4, we're reading all these types and like, oh, are you more like this or more like that? Are you more like this or you more like that? And I'm like all of these things. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. And then I find out really like, oh, because I'm a 4. So like, I'm going to like hyper-identify with everybody and not really feel like... Right. I belong to any of those groups. Like,
yeah.
The feeling that I don't belong to any of the groups is how I know that I'm a 4, which is the number that feels like they don't belong to any of the groups. So there you go. And
you know, it's a weird, when you watch panels, sometimes we teach with panels.
Yeah.
You have 4 type 4s up in front of the room, totally fouring out because they're like tuning forks. You know, one of them gets close to some fears and some of their stuff, and then the other one gets lit up, and then the whole room becomes type 4s at these events. But you discover that that archetype is in you.
Yes.
That all of these 9 archetypes are in you. There's just one that's deeper. Yeah. There's one that when you get stressed, that's where you go to default. It's the Achilles heel. It's the one that has that intangible, unknown fear that's pushing you around that you're not aware of, that when you become aware of, you can step into freedom.
And when you look at the stories of your life, like, oh, that explains that time in third grade. And oh, that's why that date went so badly. And oh, that's why I was so good at that. And oh, no wonder I love this movie. And like, right. All of a sudden everything, you're like, oh,
yeah. That's in me now.
Oh, yeah. But also the other thing that I, again, did not know when I started, and I cannot overstate the importance of relationships.
Yeah.
I did not know what a long road this was. I did not know how important, I mean, there's people that I just like ended up sitting next to at lunch at some event, and they became integral to some piece of my business or my growth. Mm-hmm. The people I've studied with, the people I've learned from, and then you get to do, and then you have an idea like, oh, I think I want to do a summit. It was a matter of 12 phone calls for me to get everybody in because we have relationships, because we, right. You know, I have all these people that I've, you know, that I love their work. I think they're great. I'm like, oh, this is going to be easy. And it was easy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you call me up and I'm like, I didn't even understand what you're doing, but I'm in, Sam.
Yeah. It was awesome. Pam Slim was like, I don't do summits, but I'll do yours.
Right. Exactly.
Thank you.
I was not good at doing relationships. I pretty much was scared of people or in judgment of them when I started the journey. And I really had to learn like how to do it and how to open and how to be more revealed and how to be more authentic and how to care more. Like it was a freaking journey for me of personal development to really get into like, okay, I like these people and they like me and we have ongoing connection and relationship where we're supportive. And just one of these relationships can open huge doors for you, like $10,000, $100,000, you know, $200,000, just off of one person that went, can you come talk to my people?
I'm going to partner on this thing. Let's do this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. My business needs some support. Can you help me with this?
You're here. Let me introduce you to my lawyer.
Right.
And all of a sudden you've got a lawyer whose insights are protecting you from making $100,000 mistakes.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I think this is another thing that I don't think I've ever heard anybody say about entrepreneurship, but it's true. When you have a job, you're working with the people you're working with. You know, you don't get to pick who's in the next cubicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being driven insane by the person in the next cubicle.
Yeah.
Insane. But when you're an entrepreneur, you do get to pick who's in the next cubicle. You pick your team. You pick who you're working with. You pick your clients. And really starting to, you really have to learn to trust your own intuition and deep knowing about people. Like when you meet some, we were talking before about getting a mentor, really trust your inner wisdom around the mentor.
Yeah.
Like do your research, you know, talk to people, all that stuff, but really just check your innerometer. Cause if you get that, like, if you even have a little bit of a shaky feeling.
Yeah.
Don't do it, because there's people in positions of power who have great respect in all kinds of industries who are troubled and don't deserve your money.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing the best they can. I don't, you know, but they're
It's just not a match.
Or it's just not a match.
Right, there's some people it's just not a match, and other people are like, oh, that person, I'm drawn towards them. I feel good when they speak. My body relaxes. I'm pulled. Like pay attention.
Yeah. And that's yeah. When you get the go feeling, don't stop investigating. Just go. Just get out your American Express card and do it because you know.
It's time.
Yeah.
And I will say a lot of new entrepreneurs will not hire, how do I say this? They will hire based on skill set and not on personality match, and they'll regret it.
Mm-hmm.
That just because the person has the skills doesn't mean it's a good fit for your company.
And in fact, Clayton Mask, CEO of Infusionsoft, who's going to be interviewed on this series, yeah. One of the things I learned from him is hire and fire to core values exclusively.
Yes.
Exclusively. Because you can teach somebody how to do accounting. You can teach them how to do whatever it is you need them to do. probably.
Like exclusively feels a little strong to me, but like that's really important.
But you can't teach people how to be kind.
Right.
You can't teach them how to have a sense of justice. You can't teach them, you know, whatever, and how to be the person that they are, how to be that detail-oriented, checking every behind every drape for every boogie monster. You know, you can't teach that. So get, once you find those people who are really high quality people, bring them in, and then you may have to, and I've had to do this with a couple of team members, like you may have to move them around to different seats for a little bit to figure out, till you figure out really what the right position for them is.
Yeah.
But when you only hire for skill set, you're going to be really sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Particularly if your inner knowing is not lined up.
Yeah. Yeah. And this has been so fabulous. Thank you so much for taking all this time to talk to everybody. Yes. I love you so much.
I knew it was going to be fun. I had no idea what I was going to be doing with you, but that, because I have a relationship with her, I got trust.
See?
We got trust.
See how good it works? All right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you on the other side. Mwah. If you've enjoyed this, but your time is limited and you'd like access to the rest of them, please hop over to therealsambennett.com/freedom. That's therealsambennett.com/freedom. And there you can opt in, get access to all these recordings and a bunch of fun freebies. We'd love to see you there. In the meantime, remember, the world needs your good work. Thanks, everybody.